Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this episode, episode 40. Here we are at episode 40 of the Love the Mirror podcast. Thanks for being here, everyone. I'm Shannon Bodie, your host. And this week, we continue our series around where do you find your peace? And believe it or not, we might be able to find a little bit of it in our parenting practices. Welcome to Love in the Mirror. So everybody, I even had to laugh when I was brainstorming for this series. Because when you think about where we find our peace, it might be the places where peace is obvious, right? But what I started to see in conversations with my clients and with all of you is we want to hear about the places where some of us struggle the most to find our peace. Where are folks who are thriving in those areas or have some strategies or support others in these areas? What wisdom do they have to offer? And so that's our continuation of this today, particularly around parenting. So if you are actively parenting other humans in any age and stage, you'll find something here to enjoy. If you're considering this, you'll find something to enjoy. And we all have been parented, yes? So what I love about this topic when we look at it from any lens is, gosh, even if I'm not in a particular stage of parenting that someone might be discussing, my goodness, can I find compassion for my own parents or for my peers, my friends, my family who are parenting in different stages, even if I'm not there. There's something for all of us here. And it is my real joy and delight to welcome back to Love in the Mirror my very dear friend and colleague, Suzanne McCulley, around this topic. Suzanne is a certified life coach, and she's serving teens and their parents as they navigate the adolescent years. My goodness, right? She helps that navigation by helping teens build their life skill sets and helping parents keep up with the information and support they need to parent well. I can speak to this personally, very deeply. I have been borrowing wisdom from Suzanne well before I became a parent 12 years ago, but certainly throughout my parenting, live parenting journey. And I know many other family members, dear friends, and community members who benefit from her very grounded wisdom that's backed by research every day. Suzanne can be found on all social media platforms as @lifecoachsuzanne, and you'll have her contact information in the show notes as well. So without further ado, Suzanne, it's my joy. Welcome back to Love in the Mirror.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So I speak for you, but you speak so much better for yourself, as we all do. That's how it works, right? Could you share just a little bit more of your work with parenting, coaching, some of your deep expertise, even in guiding teachers, and speak a little bit to your own parenting experience in your dear family?
Sure. Yeah. So currently I'm a life coach running group coaching for teens and for parents separately. Those groups run on their own.
Yes.
And then I'm building a membership program this fall to help inform and encourage parents of kids of all ages. Basically, with the understanding that a lot of parents don't have the time to read all the books that are coming out in parenting and know what the latest research is showing about what our kids are facing. So I'm kind of doing the legwork on that. So I'd love the opportunity to share it with as many parents as possible. So I'm moving towards that model this fall. Awesome. Prior to this, I was a teacher coach, an academic program facilitator, and a classroom teacher in public education. And I have my very own 13, 10, and 9-year-old children with my husband of 19 years. So that's the experience that I come to the table with.
It's fair to say you might be steeped in all of this. It's really in every angle.
Very fair. Very fair.
I just had a follow-up. I love it when you said so poignantly, those groups are separate of parents and teens. Can you speak to why they're separate? Because I felt oh my goodness, yes, they are. Why is it valuable for those groups to be different in your support realm?
Well, the teens need a safe space. And a lot of times teenagers don't want to talk to their parents. Unfortunately, it's that mm-hmm. age and stage where they're, you know, putting some separation in there. So sometimes I can say things to them that their parents have said to them 100 times and they'll yes. hear it from me, but they were unwilling to hear it from their parents. So yeah, the teen group, I run the teen group on its own and I run the parent group on its own, and those run in cycles. So mm-hmm. I've had a lot of really good kids come through it.
Wonderful. And then you just get to work in tandem. That's beautiful.
Yeah,
love it, because each group needs their own support with each other too.
Definitely.
Of peers. I love it. So you mentioned several things, but I know many of our listeners are parents. They are in service to their families. And as you referenced, right, like, we don't have time to read up on all the things, you know, mm-hmm. they're in their work life, they're in service to their community, they're doing so much. So what strategies do you use or recommend to keep both those cups filled when we can? I may be asking this as practitioner and receiver at this point, right? The cup of service that's in our daily work, the cup of service that's, you know, in our service to our kids.
Sure.
What do you recommend? What works?
So I guess it's twofold for me. I think about a couple of things when you ask that question. The first is, don't overdo it at home. And that means don't do anything for your children that they can do for themselves. I'm not saying don't bless them. That's not at all what I'm saying.
Of course.
I'm saying there are tasks and things that they can be doing for themselves. They need to do them. I think a lot of times what puts parents over the edge is that we're trying to be it all at home and then be it all at work, right?
Oh, yes.
So we have to start looking at ways our families can function as teams, wherein the kids each have their own set of responsibilities and they take care of things that need to be taken care of. A, that helps them out for life, right? We want
yes.
them to leave home with life skills to be great partners and roommates.
Yeah.
And secondly, if we take the time to teach them how to do the things that have to be done around the house and to maintain a life well, then it does actually take some of the burden off of us.
Mm.
So I would offer that. A lot of times our stress at home comes because we're trying to do it all and we don't need to do that. In fact, it doesn't serve our kids for us to do that.
No.
And secondly, and this is so cliche, but we have to take care of ourselves, right? Mm. And we have to look at that self-soothing versus self-care thing. I remember early on, like mid-2020, a friend of mine sent me a post on Instagram by Deanna Zant, and she clearly outlines self-soothing, right? Activities that provide distraction and or comfort in difficult times, and then self-care. Those are the activities that help you find meaning and support your growth and groundedness. So I'm not shaming self-soothing, because I love a good Netflix binge as much
Absolutely.
As anybody else, but also really looking at the things that provide self-care. And I think the world's message about what self-care looks like and what actually grounds us and ties us to meaning in our lives can be very different. So I think we have to do the work to figure out what is actual self-care for us and make sure that we're engaging in those things so that we can approach both work and our home life with a fuller cup.
So beautifully said. I love that distinction so
yes,
much, that soothing is necessary and important, and it might even be a step that gets us to a deeper self-care exploration.
Yes.
They're not one and the same. So,
yes.
so true. And then we get to model that need meeting for our kids.
Absolutely.
And this, I've had many journeys of this in my own life and the lives of clients. There were times, sometimes it was in single momhood and I was overextended, or sometimes it was just when I didn't feel like I quite had a work-life balance established, which is always a moving, you know, target, so to speak.
Right.
But where I felt like I had to make up for things at home for different reasons, right? So I felt guilty. Mm. I'm not doing enough for my daughter. I'm not doing it. Okay. So when you speak to that, we are overdoing it at home. I wanted to do that, you know, love language act of service for her. And what I realized, and what you're saying over time, was I was disempowering her when she was developmentally able to do things I was doing for her.
Right.
Like, you can make your own, you know, Eggo waffle at this.
Yes.
You
yes.
can cut up your steak at dinner or your banana
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
Yep.
And where I, because I wanted to be offering something that I could, it usually wasn't from those places. It usually wasn't from a full cup. It was from a guilt compensation. I'm not doing enough, or I'm not enough place.
Right.
So I really appreciate that. Where have you seen that in the life of your own family recently, where that they're not trying to do it all is paying off with your kids? Or where have you seen that in the lives of your clients?
Well, we've been doing chore rotations at our house. Like, we have three groups of chores, group A, group B, group C, and our kids rotate through the groups on a weekly basis. Mm. We do it that way because I want them to leave home with all of the skills, not just one of the groups of chores. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So they rotate through, and actually I really kicked that into high gear this summer. And I sat them down and said, hey, I realize I've been doing stuff for you that you can do for yourselves. Mm. And that's not me helping you. So I'm really sorry that I've been basically taking your power away from you, and I'm ready for you to re-engage with it. So this summer, we spent a lot of time teaching how to do things too. Mm-hmm. If your kid hasn't really, you know, been responsible for mopping the downstairs, handing them a mop and a bucket is not going to go well, right?
Right.
So we have to take the time to teach them how to do the things that they need to do. But the thing is, yeah, I invested a lot of time in that this summer, but now heading into the fall, everybody has the skills that they need to help me maintain the home. And I'm not feeling stressed out at home anymore because everybody's got it down.
They're empowered, you know? And they've got some breakdown skills one at a time.
Yes.
And it sounds like you gave yourself some patience or a nice learning curve for everyone all around.
Absolutely.
It takes time to teach, and it takes some patience. And it's something we don't do when we're exhausted very well. I'm just saying.
Right.
So, right. Coming back to your original point around, like, don't overdo it at home. It might be a pacing ourselves as well of how much are you teaching?
Absolutely.
And at what pace? I love that.
Absolutely.
When you stopped, when you offered the apology for disempowerment, now I know your family, but I also know this age range. I don't know a lot of young folks who are super excited right away to be empowered to do these things themselves. How did that go over?
I mean, they weren't real jazzed, you know, like, no one's excited about getting extra jobs, but it was time. It was time. And I'm committed to, I always think about the long term. Like, that's in my parenting. I'm always thinking, okay, what kind of adult does this create?
Yes.
What kind of adult am I building? Can I permit this now? Or should I encourage this now? Whatever this is, in what way is that going to impact the kind of adult that ends up coming out of my house?
So, I love that. So there might be some short-term discomfort or protest for really long-term gain, and you're contributing to your own self-care, not just soothing, right? Which fills your cup. I speak with so many parents about what's the energy you're bringing to your family, and where do you want to bring it? Where do you want to use it? How? Because we only have so much. And do I want to use my energy, doing whatever XYZ, these tasks, or do I want to use it having more quality or awake conversations with my daughter as she enters her teen years? Now, I know it's not either or, it's both and, but when we empower them to do some things, you're not using up all your energy on manual labor.
That's exactly right. Yes.
I'm just starting to get this, Suze. Just starting to get
it. You nailed it. That's exactly right.
It's worth it. Okay. All right. On that note of finding peace as a parent, what makes the greatest difference for you when you see your children struggling? And I've heard you say this, and I think about it a lot. Gosh, it's hard when we watch our kids go through the experiences that build their grit or that build their resilience, right? Like, man, when you talk about the long term, right? Like, wow, I know you're getting so many skills right now by going through this. But oh my gosh, how do I find peace watching my kid go through something hard? And where do you know to insert yourself or not? And I know that depends on every age and stage, right? But can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I I mean, in terms of finding my own peace in those scenarios, I just have to tell myself over and over again, like, I want a resilient human. I want so badly for my kids to be resilient people. And so I can't want them to be resilient and simultaneously wish for nothing that builds resilience to happen to them.
Right.
That just doesn't, those two things don't go together. Right.
Yes.
So it's telling myself over and over again, yeah, this is hard, but this is part of, you know, he or she or him or her, whoever, whichever kid of mine I'm thinking of, becoming who they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So that's the conversation I have with myself over and over again. And in terms of inserting myself, like, I really ask my kids a lot of the time. I saw a tweet a while ago that was like, I always start conversations with my kids with the question, do you want me to just listen, give advice, or get involved? And I will ask my kids that a lot when they're facing hard things. And usually, almost always, they either want me to just listen or give advice. It is incredibly rare that one of them will say, I want you to get involved. And in that scenario, of course I do. But again, this comes with a caveat, which maybe I could leave unstated, but I feel like I should state. If somebody is, you know, in physical danger or mental danger, of course we have to intervene there. So
I love that trio. Do you want me to listen, give advice, or get involved? I love that. That's a pullout that I've started doing that a lot lately. Do you want me to sit on my hands? My daughter knows that. Do you just want permission to vent?
Yes. I always say I got my best parenting advice from a guy on Twitter who I don't even know who this guy is, but I've used that so many times. I actually do know who he is. It's posted to my Instagram page, but yeah, I mean, I don't know his name specifically, but yeah, I think about that all the time. Like that has, you know, given way to some of the most powerful conversations I've had with my kids actually. So,
which builds their trust in themselves, right?
Yes.
When we can offer a pause and say, I believe in you to figure this out.
Yep.
We're doing that. We're not saying that, but when we offer the pause and give that choice at any age, like, I just want to, I'm here to listen. What do you need? Right.
Yes.
That, you are a resilient human. What have you learned? How do you plan on handling this? Or what do you need from me? Gosh, what a trust offering that can be.
Yes.
Oh, even if, I always have to, like, I'm biting my tongue. I'm sitting on my hands. I really want to see the things. I have so much to say. I know.
I mean, I think the hardest thing is when they make a choice then based on the conversation you're having that is absolutely not the choice you would make. And you can see in your head, because you're an adult with life experience, exactly how it's going to go. And it's not going to go well. But then you send them on their way to make that choice and, you know, face the consequences. It's hard. It's hard. Really hard. I'm not saying it's easy at all.
What are some phrases you've used or recommended parents use to navigate that learning experience when our children are learning from the their consequences of their choices? And you said, like, oh, I chose not to get involved. I knew this was a safe scenario enough to allow your learning and whatever needed to happen. Are there any, what happens afterwards when they have a consequence or they've experienced it and it aches and it hurts?
Yeah, a lot of processing.
Yeah.
How did you expect? I would say, what were you hoping would happen, right? Instead of what were you thinking? What were you hoping would happen? What outcome were you expecting from this, right? And then kind of talking through it that way. But again, we have to let them learn. They always say the cost is lower now, right?
Yes.
So any decision your kid's making right now is lower. The cost is lower than it will be in 2 years, in 4 years, in 10 years, right? So however old your kid is right now, the cost is lower right now in whatever learning experience they're going to have. So.
That's so true. And gosh, now I never thought I could speak to this, but we have quite a range of children to stepchildren in our family of every age. And that's true from 11 to 30. Right now.
So it must
be true onward, you know, like, oh, this must be what my parents are talking about. Here I am at 43. Okay. Right.
Yes.
All right. I mentioned this a little bit before, but I'm very curious your wisdom on this. Can you speak to parent guilt, mom guilt, dad guilt, and how we can connect and support each other in the good enough parenting? Around that?
So What I think about with this, Shannon, is mom guilt and dad guilt, that's all born in how we talk to ourselves. Mm. So if we want to have different feelings around the kind of parenting that we're doing, we have to change that. We have to change how we talk to ourselves about it. And we have to lovingly help the other parents in our lives when we hear them giving themselves messaging that creates guilt, right? What I always say about this piece too is I think a lot of our guilt comes from comparison, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking around like, oh, I'm not doing what that mom is doing and I should be doing more of that. I always say, you know what? You have to get really quiet, and it's hard in this world because there is so much noise around parenting and so much judgment about what we should and shouldn't be doing. To get really quiet and figure out what your highest priorities in parenting are, mm-hmm. not what your neighbors are, not what the world says your priorities should be, but what do you think is the most important thing for you to do with your kids while they're in your house? And focus on that. Be unrelenting in your pursuit of that parenting endeavor, mm-hmm. and let the rest of it be good enough.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
Yes, always.
Always.
At every age.
Yes. This is a good chance to pause and plug coaching with me and the Love in the Mirror course, because it is exactly what we deal with. The tuning out the noise and listening to that deep wisdom within yourself, but also dealing with any of that self-talk from wherever it is from. Where you don't think you're doing a good enough job, or you're not a good enough person to parent well, to partner well, to live in the world and serve well, to manifest perhaps the partnership or children that you're hoping to be with in this life. The Love and Mirror course is a pace-as-you-go experience for us to look at our self-talk, at our belief systems, and kindly, gently work through some of those barriers towards the enoughness and the peace that's actually beneath any messages that don't serve us anymore, quite frankly, and to quiet the noise of comparison and what everybody else is telling you to do. So if you'd like to take that journey with me, it's available now, 8 weeks, pace as you go. There's also options for one-on-one coaching around this. If there are deeper traumatic level experiences that you really feel are blocking your peace. So I invite you to innerpeacerising.com if you haven't gone yet, or to email me, Shannon@innerpeacerising.com for connections around one-on-one coaching or the Love in the Mirror course, which is a wonderful opportunity full of strategies, energy medicine techniques, ways to work with our own system, our own constellation, and find that deep inner voice so the enoughness within you can come forward for whatever your step is next in evolution, be that parenting or otherwise. So, Suze, thank you for that permission. I heard a lot of permission too in your answer about that guilt question, but also a lot of reflecting around lovingly talking to other parents. So much noise, and oh my goodness, I have clients right now who are brand new parents who are navigating the noise of how do I feed my child? What does everyone say is best about that? What sleep schedules does my child need? You name it, right? There's so many camps.
Right.
And I love your wisdom around lovingly talking to other parents and supporting each other. Because if anything cuts through the energy of comparison or pitting each other against each other, that sure does it. Like, oh, you know, that kind word to a friend. If I see you struggling, what do you need? Where are you doing good enough?
Encouragement goes a long way.
Yes. Yep. Where have you heard that, or where do you see parents in your community doing that well for each other?
I mean, I think about my parenting journey, and there's a few very distinct moments that I was like, man, I needed that wisdom and encouragement. And I had another parent, usually a parent that was further along in the parenting game than I was, just drop some wisdom on me that really, really helped me. And so I just always think, man, anything we can say to other parents that will encourage them, that's good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a good word. It's a good thing to do. Yeah. So yeah, I've seen that. I mean, I think the evidence of that in my parenting and my life is part of why I've gone into this line of work where I'm supporting parents, because I believe so fully in the power of an encouraging word and in the power of information presented with support.
And not an information of shoulding, but a here, this might be helpful.
Exactly.
So different. I love it. And I love how you offer it. And this is a bit of a other side of the spectrum. What role do boundaries in our own personal work have in this? You know, we're talking about how do we receive, you know, wisdom from each other, but I'm talking about not just boundaries with other parents, but boundaries with our kids now. How do boundaries in our own personal work help in that ever-changing nature of parenting at every stage?
So, I mean, I love boundaries, Shannon. You know that.
I do. Me too.
Our boundaries are everything. And in a couple of ways when I look at it in parenting. The first is the fundamental boundary of understanding and truly like knowing in your soul where you end and where your child begins, right? Mm. Not making their stuff our stuff is how we get peace in our lives. We have to, as hard as it is, I'm not saying we limit our love for them. We love them without limits, right? Unconditionally.
Yes.
But there is also a very distinct place where we end and they begin. And they are their own human beings. Mm-hmm. And they have to be able to make choices and do things without us taking it all personally as though it is happening to us, right?
Oh,
and
yes.
I think it was Brené Brown that I first heard talk about this in The Gifts of Imperfect Parenting, which is a must listen, I believe, for parents everywhere. Awesome. But she talks about that, just realizing that as much as we love them, and in many cases, you know, they are a part of us, they feel so connected to us, yet they're not us. And our true peace comes when we can separate that and keep that boundary in place a little bit. And then secondly, when we set clear boundaries about what we will and won't allow in our homes and our relationships, including with our children, that brings peace. And so we have to acknowledge the role of boundaries there and recognize that when setting boundaries with our children that are healthy, we're teaching them how to set healthy boundaries in relationships. They take that with them when they go. So I think boundaries are, I mean, possibly the most important thing in parenting.
And I think it takes a long, thank you for that. I think it takes a while for some of us to discern that point that you mentioned in your soul. Where do I end? Where do they start? Where do they begin? Do you know, how did you know for yourself that perhaps?
It was hard. Yeah. It took a long time for me. It was not, they always say like your oldest kid's like your guinea pig, right? Where you like figure things out. I feel like with my, it's gotten easier for me subsequently. Like I've just learned their grades are not my grades. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's hard when you're working at a school and these are your colleagues.
Yes, you know what I mean? Like,
there's a whole bunch of stuff where it's like, okay, you know what? I don't need to take his or her grades personally. And I don't need to take his or her behaviors personally. Is it my responsibility to help them understand the consequences of the choices that they've made, help them try to make better choices? Yes, absolutely. But do I need to walk around in guilt and shame over choices that my children have made?
Absolutely not.
No.
And neither do they need to navigate the guilt and shame you might feel.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good point. Oh, absolutely.
It's so funny. My daughter's dad and I were at her concert recently, and she's a tuba player, and I said, I feel a ridiculous amount of over empathy and nervousness for her. He said, I know, me too. I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. And we could laugh at it, but that's one of my signs for that does take a long time. Mm-hmm. Like when I really literally can say in my heart, I feel so much for you right now that I don't know where I am in it. I know I'm not doing her, especially with heavier content, right? I'm not doing her any favors. I've seen this happen, you know, in other fun level experiences at sporting events where there's an over ownership of our child's experience.
Right? And I am saying offer your children as much empathy as possible, right? I feel your feelings. Like I know what you're going through. I mean, I feel this very deeply, but that's different than I feel it as though it is me.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Because then I don't have to put my layer of my experience, my stuff on it. you get to experience it as you and not me. That's the whole point. The whole point.
That's life. Yeah.
Yes. One of my favorite mantras is that, like, oh, you've come through me, not from me.
You're love that.
Like, you're not mine. I know you're my daughter. I know, you know, of course.
I love that. But
you came through me. This isn't, there's no, I don't own your experience. It is yours. And right. I just so appreciate that. Like, gosh, where do they end and where do we begin? Because I think for some folks, when you said there's, I love that you differentiated the limit in our love for them. That has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. Of course it's limitless. Of course we would walk through fire for them.
Absolutely.
That's different than taking on their experience. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you think, Suze, do you think that we need to have our own personal parenting great role models? Because I know a lot of folks listening we all have a different family constellation in history. Mm-hmm. Some more functional than others, depending on our own assessment of that. Do you think we need to have great role models in parenting to parent peacefully?
Honestly, Shannon, I would offer that sometimes a non-example is more motivating and more inspiring than having had perfect examples. Mm. And I think sometimes we undervalue and underestimate some of our own things we've experienced as children of parents and in other ways, and what sometimes negative experiences can bring to our parenting positively.
And that, where have you seen that with your clients most? That, like, that light of awareness or that?
I most often see it in parents that come to me and say, hey, I want to be very different than my parents mm-hmm. were. And, you know, can you give me some skills or, nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Can we talk about ways you approach this or that? So
it's this oddly wrapped gift of extra intentionality then.
Yes.
Sounds like. Like, I know I didn't get this. So I'm seeking. I am absolutely seeking. I appreciate that so much because I think a lot of parents, and this could be in any nature of relationship, right? It could be if we didn't see the marriage model that we would cultivate, if we didn't see the co-working relationship, you name it, that, oh gosh, I'm shooting in the dark here. I have no idea where to start.
But you do know where to start because you know where you don't want it to go.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I love that. It's just as much information.
Yes, absolutely. And I will say too, I've been blessed by some really great examples throughout my life. And even mm-hmm. since I've become a parent, just other parents walking alongside me. And that still doesn't mean I have it all together and every day goes just exactly as I would script it. That's just not reality. That's not parenting reality. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. That you have the, who does inspire you and, or who do you follow? You mentioned Brené Brown. Who are your other favorite go-tos?
I think Brené Brown's work. Yeah, Brené Brown's work in parenting is, I mean, just life-changing. She's extraordinary. I love her. I have read so many books. I've read more books on parenting than you can possibly imagine. But the two books I love most are The Self-Driven Child and The Gift of Failure, actually, because they both offer kind of what I'm talking about letting kids really become who they're meant to be through making their own choices and allowing them the freedom to be the choosers in their lives to the extent that they can be safe. So
thank you. And I know this is part of your evolving work that you're going to offer up in the fall is, Suze, I don't have time to read all the books and all the things. Can you break it down for me? That's one of the things you're offering.
Yes, it is.
For parents. So I will put those titles in our show notes, by the way, everyone, so that you have those. But gosh, if you need a synthesizer, but also sometimes if we're new, say for parents for whom this is not your field and we're trying to discern, there's so many opinions out there. How do you discern what's really grounded in research and best practice, depending on our own value system? And it's really nice to have a divine filter sometimes. And that's what you're mm-hmm. offering folks.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Too, which I love that. So we know, and you've mentioned this, you know, peace and parenting looks different for all of us, right? It's as different as there's the myriad of family structures that we all practice, blended, single, you know, nuclear, you name it. There's so many even labels of families, which isn't what this question is about. But in your work with parents and children, what themes do you find to be the most helpful for parents who are thriving or connecting with their children the most? So what do you see working for families that are thriving?
Oh, goodness. I feel like a broken record, Shannon.
Good. This is good. We're driving it.
Back to that boundary of we're us and they're them, and you know, loving them limitlessly, but also not claiming their successes or failures as our own. That allows us to kind of step and be the guide on the side, and it allows for less fighting, less badgering, less negativity in the relationship, and then you find that you're thriving when you're not trying to control each other. Right?
Less so, controlling.
Yeah. So if we,
that's a great bonus.
If we blur, I like to call it the who's who boundary, right? I'm me, you're you. So if we blur that who's who boundary, sometimes we overstep, and that can, you know, cause tension and anger and all kinds of things in the relationship. So really, and ultimately, we want them to leave home with decision-making practice and experience with bouncing back. And if we save them from all of that, then most often we've had a lot of tension in the relationship and we send them out into the world less prepared. It's a lose-lose. So that who's who boundary, I mean, it's incredibly important. And then ultimately, what gives us peace when our kids move out? It's knowing that we're sending them into the world as prepared as possible.
I love that. And what I've seen in families where this thrives and works well is those kids are also more likely to come home and relate with parents in a different way.
Yes.
Right. There's not a, there doesn't need to be such we all know developmentally it's very natural to have the real great separation, right? That like, I know mine had to be tough for my parents to watch in different ways that like, oh, you got to go do your thing in the world and prove yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. But when we're empowering them with that trust early on, I see folks more likely to come back and consult.
I think you're exactly right.
Spend time. Do you see that too?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I did youth ministry for a long time. And that was really true with the kids that came through high school ministry when I was doing that too. Many of them would come home during college when they had a great relationship with their parents that was not disrupted by control.
Ooh. Can you speak to control and love and where those things get confused?
Oh, man. I think most often when parents exert control, it's from a place of love. They want so badly to not see their children hurting or to see things go the way they know they should for them to be smooth, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think parents set out to control their kids to the point that their kids don't, you know, respond well.
Right.
So I think that's it. It's that we try so hard to control situations for our kids that they end up, it ends up backfiring, you know? Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I mean, each one of those questions I know could be its own podcast.
Right?
It's a whole thing. And finally, Suze, if there's anything we've left out, if it's around maybe where you find your own peace as a parent and as a supporter of other parents, what else would you like to share before we sign off today?
Well, first, I want to thank you for initiating this conversation because we've got to talk about this more, ways to add peace to the monumental undertaking of parenting, you know? So I appreciate that. But I guess my final word would be to parents, find your own stuff, create hobbies for yourself and look for what really grounds you. Work on that true self-care piece because we really, our kids are going to become what we model for them. And so to me, our best line of anything in parenting is to live the way we hope our kids will live.
There's my mic drop. That's it. And I say, like, you have a way of speaking from soul that is also blended with such articulation that every time I'm like, okay, come back and talk about these next 10 things, Susie, please do.
I will come back anytime, my friend.
I thank you. And I thank you for being a model in parenting for me. You have been one of my go-tos since I've figured out that I wanted to have kids, let alone the blessing of getting to actually step parent now and bring my daughter into the world. And so I thank you and your family for the role modeling that you've offered me and my community. And I'm so grateful for those who get to receive your mentorship through the vessels you're choosing.
It's you're so awesome. Kind, Shannon, but I would like to say there's a lot of things I don't get right. So,
oh, well, because we have a pulse. I say that too. Like, yep.
Yes.
And here's what I'm learning. Or I tried this and wow, that backfired. Yep. So permission to fall on our face and share it with grace and each other.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
May we learn. I know. Well, and I know, will you remind us, Suze, of where folks can find you?
Sure. I'm on all social media as at Life Coach Suzanne. And my website is suzannemcauley.com. I would love to connect.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's wonderful. And we'll have you back soon.
Thank you, Shannon.
Well, hopefully there's something in there you feel a little better about, because if you're listening through the lens of a parent and what can I do better, I guarantee you there's something in you you're already doing that's working. Be that from self-care exploration, soothing permission, and trusting the goodness that you're offering in your family every day. Thank you for spending this time with us in the Love in the Mirror podcast and with our expert Suzanne today. And until next time, no matter what we're figuring out in the world, we can take that deep breath right here together, and the peace that's here in the moment can connect us. So thank you, everyone. Again, this is Shannon Bodie, your host. Tune in next time. We'll see you soon with Love in the Mirror.